We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name's David Inge, and we're very happy to have here in the studio with us once again this morning the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he has been stopping by here for a long time on the first Wednesday, and we talk about cooking. And we always have a good time when he's here, picking some topic. Usually, maybe it's a particular dish. We've done other sorts of things. But the idea is that we exchange stories about that, and people will call in and share recipes they have. Or, you know, maybe it's something that everybody has a little bit different, put a little different spin on it, and people are willing to say, well, this is this dish. This is how I make it. And somebody else will come in and say, well, this I do it a little bit differently. And as I say, we always have a good time. This time around, I guess he was thinking about baking. Is after all, a time when the idea of turning on the oven sounds pretty good. And as I said in my promo, I say, well, okay, so people are thinking, well, let's do something in the oven. And maybe maybe one of the first things people think of is bread. They say, oh, well, now that'd be pretty good. Then, though, they're going to think, well, but bread, you know, that's kind of a lot of messing around, and I don't have that much time, and you have to let it rise, and there's always some reason why you can't do that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there are many fine breads that you can make, and you don't have to worry about that. There are things that we call quick breads, and the reason we call them that is because, well, they're quick. like cornbread, for example, or other kinds of things that have combinations of dried fruits and nuts that are kind of popular this time of year. And that's what he was thinking about, so that's what we're going to do. And he has some recipes to share, and I'm hoping that people who are listening would want to do the same thing. Or if you just want to call up and say hi, that's okay too. 333-9455, that's the Champaign-Urbana number. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Email's also at will-talk@illinois.edu. So you said Doyle came in here and sat down. He said he just can't kind of – he kind of won't let the fruitcake go.
No,
he can't let the fruitcake alone.
That's still so good.
Well, I think so too. And I don't know why it is that that has to be something that at January 1st you say, oh, well, we're not doing that anymore. Seems like a good winter thing to me.
I think so. Of course, if you've made a bunch of them and set them away, then you're going to have them. You got to eat them sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't make a fuss over that. It's always that thing for Christmas. Some people start with Thanksgiving with fruitcakes. But anyway, today the whole thing was about quick breads. And it's not really a mystery. I mean, the mystery has been solved. But I didn't realize when you sort of, I always just thought, well, quick breads meant little tea loaves, little loaves of for tea cake. But thanks to Alton Brown, who straightened me out on that, he said, now look, there's three ways you can do this. And I thought, what are they talking about, three ways? You mix this up and you mix that up, and it isn't. But there are three ways of putting together quick breads, and each of them produces a different kind of an object. And I was sort of interested in that, and I got it completely squared away. And then it's really quite simple. The creaming method is where you create a soft texture, and the dry ingredients in the quick bread method is dry ingredients in a bowl, liquids in another, with the two gently stirred together, and you don't worry about it being mixed up thoroughly. You know, it's like making pancakes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, little lumps of flour are good in there. So you have all of the wet ingredients and then all of the dry ingredients, and the two are put together. You make a hole in the dry, and you toss all of the liquid in, and then you slowly fold that together. That's what they consider the quick bread method. The creaming method is like mother making sugar cookies, where you take butter and sugar and you whip them together so that the sugar begins to melt and the butter gets lighter. And then, but what you're doing when you do that with a hand beater is that you're mixing a lot of air into it. So what you get is a much lighter cake. The first one is a little dense. Well, yes, I like dense cakes. Well, that's how you make it. I like light cakes. Well, that's how you make it. Oh, you know. Okay. So you mix it. You mix all of the dry ingredients and all of the wet ingredients. But in the creaming method, you then dump all the flour on top of the moisture. See, one is moisture into the flour, the other is flour into the moisture.
Oh, okay. Well, that's no.
And you see, that's never been explained.
And I really the fruitcake recipe that I've been making is his.
Oh,
and
yes.
And that's the way you do that. That's his thing. And now I think about it, and I think, well, you know, one of the things I really like to make and make pretty routinely during the winter is cornbread. Well, that's the other. That's the I guess would be the classic wet into the dry, because you mix up your meal and your flour and your sugar and a little baking powder, and then put that in a bowl and kind of get that all mixed up, and then into that goes your milk and egg mixture, and then the last thing I do is I have my iron skillet hot,
yes,
in the oven. I put the oil in there, get the oil hot, and then the last thing is dump in the hot oil, get everything all sort of mixed up, and just enough so that it sort of comes together, and then it goes back in the pan, and then that's that.
Now tell me there, lad, are you doing the Southern style or the Northern style?
Well, my friend, I know that my relatives, if there are any, and there are still in the South, would say, son, what are you putting that sugar in there for?
Oh, that's true.
I like yellow cornmeal. So I'm using yellow cornmeal, and I do put sugar in it, which is
It's all right.
I don't. Well,
no,
it's
the South. The South likes white corn, and they like it real thin. You know, not more than 3/4 of an inch thick drives me crazy. You know, because I come from the tradition of at least a 2-inch slab of cornmeal.
Yeah.
Of cornbread. But there's this big difference between the South and the North as to whether it's white corn or with sugar or without sugar. And when you straighten it out, it makes sense. But when you just hear it coming over the airwaves, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I find it very amusing because, these are our cooking traditions. And it's called, well, this is just the way you do it.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's not like I really thought very much about it.
No, you don't.
And I think really the recipe that I've always used, actually the recipe that I've always used is the one that's printed on the cornmeal.
Oh yes.
Box. I actually don't use that cornmeal anymore because I'm using stone ground
yes.
cornmeal. But I'm still using that recipe, and now I've made it so many times that I don't have to look at the recipe anymore. I got the recipe down, but it does have sugar in it, and there is salt optional, and I never put salt in it because I don't want that taste. And I guess, you know, because that's where I have actually made it with blue cornmeal.
Oh yes,
which is which I do like, but most recently I guess we've just been making it with yellow cornmeal. So that's the ingredient that I had to hand, and that's the recipe that I was using. And I never really thought very much about it.
Well, you don't think of the thing. You're right. You don't think about it. So that's why I thought it would be fun to listen to people's attitudes about how they put these things together. Yeah.
So questions welcome, recipes welcome, whatever you have.
We're talking about tea breads, little nut and fruit breads, muffins. Biscuits are also a quick bread, cornbreads, and all that take less than an hour from I think I'm going to make it to here I am eating it.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought today would be neat to talk about because it doesn't take a long time.
Okay. And the number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, now let me ask you, then what do you think is going to be the big difference between, let's say, the two methods that I was talking about, the wet into the dry and then the other one?
Wet into the dry. The wet into the dry, you're going to mix with a spoon or a spatula.
Right.
And so it's coarser, and you don't mix any air into it, so you're going to get a denser cake. And sometimes that's what you want, is the dense cake with this combination of stuff, and you want a light, airy cake. If you wanted a nice lemon pound cake, you know, you would then start with the creaming method and beat a lot of air into that, and it would make a big, fluffier cake. That, I think, is
okay.
The answer to your question.
So it's maybe lighter, has a smaller, finer crumb
to it. Yes,
it's going to be more cake, a little bit more cakey.
Well, that's why a lot of the people laugh. They, what are you talking about, quick bread? You know very good and well these are cakes.
We have a caller here. Let's talk with him. Spring Bay. Land toll free line number 4. Hello.
Good morning. Well, I made some cornbread last night.
Oh, good.
I started out. I grew the corn.
It's
pollinated pre World War II corn, and the old guy that gave it to me told me that it was 14% protein.
Uh huh.
So I thought, well, I'll try it. And now I ground it with steel burrs.
Yes.
It's a little bit coarse.
Yeah.
I could get it finer, but anyway, that's what I got. And I put some vinegar in with the milk to curdle it.
Oh, all right, yes.
Or buttermilk.
Yes.
Instead. And
then you use soda. Did you use soda?
Baking soda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the sour milk, baking soda is what you
use. I didn't put the soda into the milk.
No, but I mean, when you're using sour milk, you have soda in the blend.
Okay, yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's right. You're doing it right.
And we thought, well, in order to try to get it not quite so gritty, we'd let it sit for a few minutes in the buttermilk milk mixture. And that helped.
And that softens it up, yes.
It softened it up. And then I added the rest of the wet things and the rest of the powder and all of that. Now, it came out a little bit heavy, and I thought maybe it was a little undercooked. We cooked it 425 for 25 minutes.
Well, that sounds right.
In a 9x9 pan.
Yeah.
And it just seemed a little heavy in the center, and I'm wondering, should I put more, should I try maybe some more powder? Lighten it up or fluff it up?
I get anxious when you start increasing. I don't like the strong flavor of baking powder, and baking powder biscuits are the great danger. Cornbread isn't quite so bad. You might be able to put more in it. I'm thinking what you might do. Is there any water in your recipe?
No, and it was pretty runny. I put 2 eggs in.
Oh, yeah.
And a cup and a half of milk.
Now, there is a version of cornbread that sounds, and you've got a coarse grind. There is a version of cornbread that uses a coarse grind that you put boiling water into.
Okay.
You toss boiling water into the cornmeal, and you let that set for 10-15 minutes. That softens up the corn.
Yeah.
And that might be another technique you want to look at. That's another very southern. Generally that particular cornbread is only boiling water, and there might be a little baking powder in it. I can't remember right now. And you scoop it out in spoonsful and in a tablespoonful and put it in deep fat, and you kind of make these little, they're not crullers, but they're little, they want to call it southern cornbread, but you get that down in Kentucky a lot.
Well, I was following a northern recipe.
Yes.
It called for 1 to 3 tablespoons of sugar. I put in 1 tablespoon of brown sugar.
Yes.
And it was okay. My wife thought it wasn't sweet enough. She's from Georgia.
Oh.
It also added, I think it was 3/4 cup of regular flour.
Regular flour, yes.
And I would like to maybe not do that because I'm not getting as much of a corn flavor as I would like.
You're talking about all of the exact problems that everyone constantly is facing. And most of it comes from which cornmeal you take, whether you get a coarse grind or a fine grind, or whether it's the grist mill or the metal burrs. It makes a difference in the quality of the cornmeal, and you cook it differently. But most of those differences are local differences that people just simply keep doing and never tell anybody. But you're absolutely, everything that you're saying is, oh yes, that is a problem, that is a problem, that is a problem. So you're doing really good, actually. You'll get it straightened out.
The reason I wanted to try it is that we'd been using this Jiffy mix for years, and it's got a great flavor.
Yes.
But I thought to myself, boy, if I grow my own corn, I'll get an even better flavor.
Well, you will. You actually will. And even in the corn that you choose will give you flavor differences. But most of I don't know. Well, of course, if you're grinding your own, you're grinding your own. But stone ground is preferred by the connoisseurs to the metal burr, but that makes a coarser flour, but it tastes better, and you get the corn taste. And there are some flours that you could put together forever and you'd never get a corn taste.
Okay.
And I can't figure out why they're selling them anyway if they aren't going to do what you want them to do. Well, I'm very glad that you're doing all of that because that's kind of neat.
Well, it's fun and it tastes pretty good.
Yes.
And all of that. Now, you think it would be all right, though, to take away that wheat flour out of the recipe and
I'm torn with that because most of the recipes want a little in there. Maybe take why don't you cut the wheat flour in half? And then increase the heavier cornmeal. It always wants to take a little bit of both. I wouldn't throw it away completely because then you'll end up with a different texture. You'll end up with something that isn't going to stick together because there's no gluten in the corn. And it's the gluten in the flour that makes the cornbread stick together.
Okay. Well, nice talking with you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, I'm thinking about how the fact that some book that either I have or I've read, and I think maybe it's a book we must have that has a lot of cornbread recipes, that the author suggests that what you do is once you get your batter made up, that you let it sit for 20 minutes.
Oh, that's going to hydrate the cornmeal.
And it's something that I've never done. I've always been sort of in too much of a hurry. I just, you know.
How can you do quick bread when you let it sit?
Exactly. Mundo. But I guess I often wondered, well, what, and I think that she was, I think her idea was that then actually also you'll get a little bit of rise, that it will be a little lighter somehow. And I'm not sure, well, would that really be true? Or would that make, I guess what I should do is try it sometime and see if I would notice any difference. I'm not sure why that would make things that much different.
Well, you're going to make a if you let it sit and hydrate, you're going to get a softer bread. It isn't going to be crunchy and grainy and
uh-huh.
You're going to do that, and that might make a difference in what you're looking at.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Let's go to Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
You've covered the cake method.
Yes.
And the muffin method.
Yes.
But you haven't covered the biscuit method.
No, I haven't talked about the biscuit method yet.
I've got a good recipe for oat scones.
Oh, great. Yes. Oat scones are another great treat. Let's have that.
This one is the only quick bread recipe that I've ever eaten that tastes good cold, too.
Yes.
A cup of all-purpose flour, cup of rolled oats.
And one cup of oats, yes.
Half a teaspoon of salt, but I don't use that much.
No, but all of the books say, oh, please, please put a little bit of salt in because it'll be so flat.
Yeah.
If you don't. And so I'm on a salt-free diet, but I will put a quarter of a teaspoon of salt into these.
Yeah. And I use old-fashioned oats.
Yes.
Rather than quick oats in this. And half a teaspoon of baking soda.
One half, yes.
And one teaspoon of cream of tartar.
Cream of tartar. One teaspoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little tea of cream of tartar, yeah.
And one tablespoon of sugar.
One big tea of sugar.
One quarter cup of fat. And if you use butter with salt in it, I don't salt at all.
Oh, uh-huh.
I tend to use lard because it makes a lighter biscuit.
Yes, it does.
And a half a cup of milk or buttermilk.
And one half a cup of buttermilk. Which do you like best?
I always use buttermilk.
Uh-huh.
You heat oven to 225 and use the biscuit method, which is you put the dry ingredients together, cut in the shortening.
Right, and cut in the shortening.
And add the liquid.
Yes.
And you spread it, you pat it into an 8 or 9 inch circle.
Yes.
And cut it into, score it into 8 wedges and bake for 15 minutes.
So you're making scones. Yes, they are triangular. You're right.
And sometimes if I'm doing it for, snacky kinds of thing, instead of doing it into one, I'll make two smaller ones, and then I'll have 16 little ones.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes you just want it snacky.
Now, are these, what you end up with, are they dense or are they flaky?
They're flaky and dense. I mean, they're solid, but they're still flaky, especially if you use lard.
Yes, yes.
If you use butter, they're just kind of dense.
Well, it's funny because critics of scone making point out that only the English make the light, fluffy ones, and Americans make and especially at coffee shops, these deadly stones. They're just heavy, heavy rocks. Mm. And
yeah.
And why we made that differentiation in cooking techniques, I do not know.
I don't know either, but these are substantial, but not you wouldn't use them for hockey pucks.
Well, that's handy.
Yeah,
that's handy.
I did make.
No, I understand what you're saying. You're right. You're right.
And this is more Scottish than English.
Yes. Now, I will tell you something. I'm allergic to oatmeal.
Oh.
And that creates quite a problem. I get very bad reactions to gout with oatmeal.
Ah.
So I have switched to a much older grain, which is rolled spelt, S-P-E-L-T, rolled spelt flakes.
Mm.
And you know what? I cannot tell it from the taste of oatmeal.
Mm.
Spelt is the ancestor of our modern wheat. And it's a very, very ancient European flavor. And they use a lot of spelt in a lot of ways. There are a lot of spelt products in this town, mostly flour and maybe a grain. But, yeah, you can get whole spelt and you can get flour and such. But the spelt flakes are...
That's a real shame because I replace flour, partially replace flour, in a lot of recipes with oat bran.
With oat bran, yes.
And that would be
Well, I've tried and tried and tried to get the information on oat bran, but I can't get anyone to pay attention to it, mm-hmm. except the oats. The oats absolutely kills me.
Yeah.
So anyway, you just stay away from it.
Yeah, well, I have to do that with olive oil.
Yes.
It's probably more difficult.
Yes, it is. Well, this sounds good. Oat scones.
Yeah, and I had it first at a after a Scottish ball.
Oh, yes.
And I found the recipe that's very like it in a book put out by the Minnesota League of Women Voters.
Oh, my goodness. And those are the oat scones, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever make oat cakes where you put boiling water on oatmeal and then you add a little bit of flour and some other things and you roll it out flat so that it's about less than a quarter of an inch thick and then you cut it into squares and bake it? And is that good with cheeses?
Yeah, I've had that.
Handmade oat cakes are God's gift to the world, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I had that at the same breakfast.
Oh, yes. Well, that's very good. Well, thank you for the scones.
Okay.
No, thanks.
Bye.
I've always believed that there should be a way to make a scone that would be really good and
yes.
that would get away from that
rock.
That's what, and I think so many people have had scones and that they are like that, and that's why they are just down on the whole concept.
Yeah, I do too. And some of it, now she uses cream, and some people don't use cream and some people do. And there's a great difference between whether you use cream in making scones or not.
333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. We're a little past the midpoint here. It's the first Wednesday of the month, the 10 o'clock hour, and we've been doing for a long time shows here with this man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He stops by and we talk about cooking. Every show has a theme, which we sort of keep to, although we have a way of rambling around the theme, and that's perfectly fine.
That's the best part.
That's perfectly fine. You know, whatever's on folks' mind. But this time around, Doyle said, well, maybe we could talk about quick breads and their many forms. And you might not think about it, but as we just had someone contribute a scone recipe, he says, well, that's a quick bread.
That is,
and
indeed.
A biscuit, that's a quick bread.
Yep.
Tea breads, your banana bread, you even, you know, the way some folks make it, fruitcake qualifies as a quick bread. If I have a recipe that I really like, and I think it's good right out of the oven, so as far as I'm concerned,
it's very quick.
It's ready to go.
It's very quick.
And it's very good. You don't have to do that long process of anointing it
right
with alcohol. 333-WILL, toll free, 800-222-WILL. And now we have several callers. Let's start in with this next group. Champagne is up first, and that's line two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, I want to tell you that when I was in the Smoky Mountains, I bought the Bible for cornmeal.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's terrific. Over 500 recipes.
Wow.
It's called Cornmeal Country, an American Tradition by Elizabeth Ross.
Cornmeal Country.
Uh-huh.
Elizabeth Ross. Spell her last name.
R-O-S-S.
Oh, Ross. R-O-S-S. Mm-hmm. Cornmeal Country. A what tradition?
An American tradition.
American
mm-hmm.
tradition.
It covers all areas of the country.
Oh, that's great.
Goes, yeah, spoon breads, Mexican, southern, northern, and there's 16 northern cornbread recipes.
Wow.
The spoon bread recipe that I like is absolutely fantastic.
That is a treat, isn't it?
Yeah.
That started in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this one has 4 beaten egg whites in it.
Ooh.
A fourth of a cup of butter, and it's good.
That sounds good, yes.
But anyway, I thought I'd tell you about that book.
Yes, I'm glad to know it. Cornmeal Country, American Tradition, Elizabeth Ross.
Right.
Oh, that's good. Can you imagine how many recipes you say there were?
Over 500.
500 recipes.
I mean, there's fried green tomatoes in there too.
Oh yes, gotta use the cornmeal for that, and probably catfish.
I'm sure
there has to be.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Well, that's good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you.
You know, somebody told me a story. This is a quick anecdote, but it's just again the difference between cooking traditions and people. After the Second World War, flour was very, very difficult to come by in England, and so they made a plea that please send us some corn flour, and what they did was they sent cornbread, and the people there tried to make ground cornmeal. The Americans thought
masa.
Well, yeah. Americans thought, oh, you want corn flour? Well, that's
you take
obvious,
corn and you
obviously
grind
that
it.
That's ground cornmeal. Uh-huh. And some of the people tried to make it, and it wasn't until many, many years later that they were able to get wheat flour, because you see, wheat in England is called corn. The sheep are in the meadow, and the cows are in the corn.
Oh,
they were in the wheat field.
They were in the wheat field.
Yes. And I thought that was very interesting. Somebody just told me that not too long ago about this fellow. They tried to make bread out of this strange stuff that we had sent them. So anyway, that's just a sideline.
All right. To another caller here, and I believe the next would be in Champaign. Line one. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes.
I'm enjoying this show.
Good.
The fellow who had trouble with the heavy cornmeal.
Yes.
There's a really interesting book in the new section at the library called Bakewise. I don't recall the author. But she has the scientific basis beyond, you know, why we do what we do in the kitchen and what works
yes.
and what doesn't. And the leavening in different products is really important, because if you over-leaven, you counterintuitively end up with a heavier product.
Yes.
Because things pop really fast and then they fall.
Too fast and they fall, yep.
In the oven. So if he's going to be monkeying with a recipe, I would suggest even reducing the leavening rather than increasing it.
Well, that's a good thought. And in fact, in some instances, there are the. But, you know, each of these problems seems to be so unique that there isn't a widespread answer, and you just have to experiment. And all of these you're absolutely right. If you do it too much, it'll stiffen up and get. And if you got too much heat, or if it isn't hot enough, all those little things make such a difference.
I would even suggest adding another egg yolk, or maybe cutting out an egg white and adding another egg yolk.
An egg yolk, yeah. You'd have more oil and substance, yes.
Yeah, so that's my 2 cents.
Well, that's good. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Well,
bye.
Thanks very much for the call. Well, here now, I'm looking at, I'm on the webpage of a large bookseller that I will not name, because we like our local bookstores anyway. And so I'm looking up, I found the book Bakewise, and it is interesting to me because here I see the photograph of the author, and I know I have seen this woman before. Her name is Shirley Corriher. I'm not sure how the name is pronounced. She's the woman who appears occasionally with Alton Brown, who
yes,
talks about
the round-faced
food
woman.
Chemistry. Indeed so. And apparently the book she had her first book was called Cookwise, and then now this most recent book is Bakewise, and apparently it's the same kind of thing. It's the effort to explain, you know, when you put things together in a certain way, why it is you do it that way, and what happens.
And
that's what it is. I think both of us really like about watching Alton Brown
exactly.
is that he explains. You know, he doesn't just give you a recipe, but he says, okay, you do it this way because this is the way. This is what happens. And so if people want to look for that book, it's Bakewise, The Hows and Whys of Successful Baking, with over 200 magnificent recipes. And her name is spelled Corriher. So if you're interested, not just in the recipes, but if you're kind of curious about the chemistry of
yep.
food, that's would be a good book to look at. Okay, let's talk again with someone here. We'll go over to Indiana, Terre Haute, line four, right here. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
I grew up in Georgia and ate cornbread all my life.
Yes.
My mother never put flour in cornbread.
Never.
And I really don't like flour in cornbread.
I see.
I don't have any trouble with it falling apart or anything. It's just plain cornmeal, buttermilk, egg, and oil.
And oil, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, that's cornbread to me.
My question to you then is, was it thin? Was it like about 3/4 inch thick?
No, it's a big, I cook it in a 9-inch iron skillet.
I see. So it would be a good thick.
Thick 2.5 inches.
Well,
it's very, very moist, very soft, and delicious. And I use stone ground cornmeal from a mill in Georgia.
I think that's the greater part of the secret. Is the stone ground. I mean, all the recipes, if you can get stone ground. And that hardly comes from Mr. Pillsbury.
No, it doesn't. I buy meal when I go.
Yes. And the stone ground has some very fine texture to it, as well as the coarse texture. And those two things, I think, go together and make such a good product.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great.
Well, it sounds like you come right from cornbread country.
It did.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, thank you. Well, and we'll talk next with somebody in Wisconsin on our line 3. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Right,
yes.
Thanks, same to you.
Happy Epiphany.
That's right. This is the day, isn't it?
Yep.
I'm calling from Wisconsin, but I'm reading from a cookbook called Marigolds to Munch On, which was written in 1970 by the Junior League of Peoria, so I'm giving you some credit.
Yes.
This is for cranberry orange nut bread,
ooh,
which is all of our favorites. It's a very quick one.
Yes.
I'll give the recipe first.
Yes.
2 tablespoons of butter.
2 teas of butter.
1 cup sugar.
1 C of sugar.
1 beaten egg.
1 EGG.
1/2 teaspoon of salt. One. I usually don't put quite that much.
Yes.
1/2 teaspoon of soda.
Soda, yes.
2 cups of flour.
What kind?
I usually use just regular unbleached.
All-purpose.
All-purpose, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rind of a grated orange.
Orange.
The last time I made this, I used the synthetic, not the synthetic, but the jarred orange, which was a little easier because I didn't have an orange on hand.
Uh-huh.
3/4 cup of orange juice.
3/4 cup of orange juice.
1 full cup of cranberries cut in half.
Ooh, 1 cup of cranberries.
Now, that's the only labor-intensive part of it, is cutting those cranberries in half.
One at a time.
One at a time. And 1/2 cup of cut-up nuts.
Yes.
So, and let's see, bake about an hour. I make it in big loaves and little loaves, and I've also made it in muffins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I bake it. I usually check it after about 45 minutes, sometimes 45 minutes to an hour, maybe a little less for the muffins.
Yes.
And
what temperature?
350.
350. Got it.
I have to tell you, I worked the polls this last November, and I took this to the pole so everybody would have some snacks. And we, instead of calling it cranberry orange nut bread, we called it Yes We Can Cranberry Bread.
Oh, that is cranberry. That's good. That's good.
Happy New Year and happy birthday.
Yes, thank you very much.
That's
a great recipe. Thanks a lot.
Okay. We're coming up to about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. It's our monthly show on cooking. We've been doing it for a long time on the first Wednesday of the month in the 10 o'clock hour with Doyle Moore. And need I add, he's the man that we call our chef in residence. He's been doing it with us for a long time. We always enjoy seeing him and talking and hearing what people have to say about the particular topic. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about quick breads. It's the kind of thing where we're at a time when you're happy to turn on the oven and maybe you'd like to have a little treat, but you're thinking, well, I only have so much time. We're also pressed for time. Well, here you go. Here you got a recipe that from start to finish, you should be able to do in, you think, most of these recipes in under an hour, certainly.
Yep.
Depending on what kind of prep is involved, you can pretty much, and I don't know, with cornbread, you probably do that in 1/2 hour, 35 minutes.
It only takes moments to put it together and then the cooking.
Well, I'm allowing for cooking time and heating the oven.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL.
And the last recipe that we just got, well, just quick, I'm looking at it here. Since it starts out with butter and sugar and egg, I have an idea that's the creaming method.
Yes. Yeah.
So just in case you wanted to know if there was another way, we got them.
Yeah, for those of you who are keeping score at home, Neptune is next. Line number one.
I can't envision somebody keeping score, but I love it.
All right. Line one, Mattoon. Hi, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Unfortunately, I missed the first half of the program, and I may be repeating something, but in the cornbread discussions,
yes.
Has anyone suggested you use a hot iron skillet to bake it in?
Well, David, yeah. you put the skillet. Yeah.
I put the skillet in the oven.
Yes.
And then
get it real hot.
And put some. Actually, I use oil. Now.
Oil.
Use bacon fat.
Right. Yeah.
But then pour that batter into that. It almost sizzles.
Yes, it does.
When you pour it in, and it. Well, I've been doing it for some 60 odd years.
Well, good for you.
It's a good way to bake it.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Enjoy the program.
Yes. Well, I thank you very much. What I've been doing, many, many years ago, my dear mother gave me a pan for making cornbread in, and I've been using it ever since, and I love this pan, and I love her every time I think about it. It's a small pan, but it's divided into wedge-like compartments.
Already wedges.
So and I do just what the caller says. When I'm starting to heat the oven, I put the pan in there and get it good and hot. And then I also use vegetable oil. The recipe that I use has a quarter cup of oil. So then I put the oil into the pan once the pan is really hot and let it sit in there and get hot. And when you can kind of smell the oil, you know, okay, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And then the oil goes back in. So then you mix up your batter and then you depending on it always seems to be a little different depending on how it is. You either have to spoon it in or you can actually pour it into each compartment.
Yeah.
And so what that what it pops out is you get a little wedge-shaped kind of muffin
with crust.
With crust.
All around it. I'm sure that there is a – I'm sure that has an origin. And I don't know what the origin of that divided pan is.
And I don't know that I've ever seen any of pans like that. I know there are plenty of places you can buy a cast iron skillet,
yeah.
And some people would make it in a round skillet, which you certainly could do. But I have never seen another one like this. Any place.
I have seen one, and I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to think where that tradition might have come up from. That's good.
I don't know. It's really good. So yes, that's what you do. You do your iron skillet. You get it really hot, and then you put your oil in there, or your fat, and get that really hot. And then put your batter back into that skillet that's all let hot and greasy, and you get that nice crisping around the edges.
What's that song? Keep your skillet hot and greasy all the time. Yeah, it's a very, very old blues song.
I do not know that song.
Yeah.
All right.
I do, but I'm not going to sing it.
Okay, maybe later. Let's talk next with somebody in Champaign here, line two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm actually calling. I was coming in maybe about halfway through the show, and Doyle was talking about how you needed to have flour in your cornbread in order.
Yes.
Because of the gluten to hold things together. I've had to cook gluten-free now for about 15 years.
Oh, yes.
So that's not 100% true.
Well,
I just thought I might.
Someone called in and said, I've been making cornbread all my life. I never put flour in it.
Well, you can do some things to make quick breads adjust if you have the same problem.
Yes.
What I typically do when I'm getting rid of the wheat flour in a recipe is I'll use like 2/3 of a whole grain, brown rice, quinoa, amaranth, millet, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll take 1/3 and I'll use a starch, so a corn starch, potato starch, arrowroot starch, something like that.
Okay, yes.
And that'll lighten it up.
Yes.
I typically will make sure that there's some kind of protein in the recipe, like egg, which will help bind things together. And you can also use a product called xanthan gum.
Oh, yes.
Made from corn, and that will also help hold things together. And as far as my cornbread recipe, instead of the starches, I use a cup of yellow cornmeal and a cup of corn flour, masa harina.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yes.
White flour.
Right.
And I get a good result with that.
That sounds pretty healthy too. Yeah.
Wanted to mention that you know you're right, but
well,
you can get depend.
It. We're right. It depends on where you came from. I just love this because what you're pointing out is that different regions have different attitudes towards what this product is supposed to be. And it probably is the most regional kind of when you get to talking about cornbread. We do it this way. No, we do it this way. And the thing is, you have perfected your corn to your technique, to your surroundings, all those things, and they have produced little regional pockets of different kinds of cornbread. That's neat.
Oh, very good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That also, I'm thinking about the earlier caller who was saying that he wants more corn flavor in his cornbread. I'm wondering if you might take a tip from this last caller and say, well, instead of using wheat flour, maybe try using masa harina, which is ground up to flour consistency.
Yeah,
isn't that pretty much what it is?
Except I believe that masa harina has been cooked in lye. I think. Who was the lady, the Alton Brown lady? She explained that one day about masa harina, that it's a special word that the Peruvians or somebody invented to make this material, and that's why it works so well.
Huh. Okay.
And it has sort of been leached or something, and then dried and ground. But,
so that I wonder if that would. If it's going to change the way things cook, if you...
I think it will.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we will go and at least get one more caller here, and I think this is somebody in Belgium. Line number 4. Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Good morning to you all. Early in your discussion here, Mr. Inge, you spoke about putting sugar into cornbread.
Yes.
Sounds like a good idea. I've also had it where you put honey in it.
I'm sure that, I mean, myself, to me, I like it to be a little bit sweet. And I know that's another one of these things where people have strong feelings about. So I do put sugar in mine and I don't put salt in it. But I think I don't know there'd be any reason why you couldn't use honey as your sweetener.
Oh, no.
In place of sugar.
Honey was a very early sweetener. Honey and molasses was long before sugar came around.
And since I like to put honey on it.
Yes.
It's just that much better.
I think you're right.
Thank you very much.
That's
all
good.
Right. Thank you very much for the call. Well, okay, so now I'm here. I'm at the font of all knowledge. I'm on Wikipedia, and I'm looking at what they say here about masa. Apparently it is to make masa harina, corn is dried and then treated with a solution of lime or ash and water.
Quick lime.
Slaked lime. It loosens the hulls from the kernels. It softens the corn. In addition, it reacts with the corn so that the nutrient niacin can be assimilated by the digestive tract. It has a chemical effect and it makes it better nutritionally speaking. And now whether as you cook with it, you have to make some adjustments. If you were going to use that in place of wheat flour, I don't know.
Well,
you just have to mess around with it.
You mess around with it and say, well, we'll do it this way.
All right. Another caller, Champagne, line 1. Hello.
Hi there. Hi. I heard you talking about the divided cast iron pan.
Yes.
Not that I've ever seen anything along those lines, but I am a big fan of the chewy, ooey, gooey edges that you get on brownies and banana bread and things like that. There is a pan, and it works either cold or if you warm it up as the oven is preheating, called the edge. And it produces kind of a long, almost snake-like. You have to divide it off into squares when you divide up the bread. But it's all edges.
All those people who want to have the edge piece.
Yes.
Right.
It's all, I gotcha. I gotcha.
So it's a great product. It's a little heavier gauge metal. I don't believe it's cast iron, but it works really well, cold or hot.
This is recent.
It's called the Edge.
Yeah, this is a recent invention. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much.
Yeah. For the edge.
That is, I mean, for me, I think that the thing that I really love about this pan, my cast iron pan from my mom, is that on three sides of these little things that pop out, these little wedge shaped thing, you have this nice crispy side. I think it's just, it's great. It's a great, great thing. I love it. So I think of her every time I make cornbread. I think she would be pleased. Well, we're kind of coming down here to the end. It turned into a cornbread show. Right.
Well, it did, but that is one of the quick breads.
And we probably don't have time to give another recipe. Any sort of last thing that you would like to leave with folks?
Widen your scope as to what this is all about, because I've always had each of these objects separated into their own, you know, don't talk about biscuits when you're talking about cornbread, you know, and things like that. And you know, I realize that what this whole thing was that it is a manner of making things that don't require yeast. Generally, that's the idea. No yeast. Yeast breads are another kind of problem, and these things were just called quick breads.
Yeah.
And my mother made biscuits and cornbread, I think, every day. Somehow, if it wasn't one, it was the other. And I'm thinking about some of these things. My father would often, his entire supper would be cold cornbread and buttermilk. That's all he wanted. I said, well, How can you make supper out of cold cornbread and buttermilk? He says, when you're hungry, it's great.
The man here, we call him our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He stops by the first Wednesday of the month. We talk about cooking in the 10 o'clock hour, and we're always happy to see him. Hey, thanks very much.
Yes, thank you.
All right.